O Jesus Christ, you are the precious, the sweet, the holy Lamb of God. Help us to ever trust in your death and resurrection for our life. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. I begin with a quote from C.S. Lewis from his series of sermons called The Weight of Glory. Speaking about our lack of focus and intentionality in seeking God, Lewis said this, quote, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." Making mud pies in a slum when we are offered a holiday at the sea, we are too easily pleased. In Romans 5, the Apostle Paul speaks about the blessing of having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our ultimate joy. Far greater than any of the temporary joys and pleasures of this life. So this morning, I want to speak about Christ as our peace. My first point is we have peace with God through Christ's work for us. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. In fact, in Romans 5:1, the Apostle Paul says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God." In Romans 5:1, some Greek manuscripts say, "We have peace with God." Other Greek manuscripts say, "Let us have peace with God." I favor the manuscripts which translate, "We have peace with God." It's a settled fact. These manuscripts fit the flow of Paul's argument in context. In fact, in verses 6 through 12, Paul fleshes out how we have peace with God through Jesus. Romans 5:6 says, "While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." The nature of Christ's outpoured love is most vividly seen in the death of our Lord on the cross for our sins. When Paul says, "at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly," the phrase "at the right time" should be seen that the death of the Lord Jesus took place according to God's timing. And we need to remember that because the Jews waited for years upon years for Messiah to come. And even when he came, they did not recognize him. And so we need to remember, even though 2,000 years have passed, Christ's second coming will be at his time, at God's timing. Also, Christ died at the right time in the sense that his death came to meet us in the moment of our deepest spiritual need, the need of our very salvation. This is Paul's point when he speaks of us, when he says that we were still helpless in Romans 5:6, and while we were yet sinners in Romans 5:8, and while we were yet enemies in Romans 5:10. At this very moment, while we were in such a state, Christ died for us. Romans 5:10 says this, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Paul uses the phrase much more in the middle of this verse as he is using an argument from the greater to the lesser. If when our relationship with God was broken and dead, God would do for us the work of reconciliation at the cost of his death of his son, suffering in our place, he will not withhold the full and final blessing of our salvation. And so if Jesus has died for our very life, he shall much more complete our salvation. The outworking of our final salvation and glory in heaven is God simply following through on the promises of his covenant, which he has purposed and planned from the foundation of the world. What God promises, he completes. What he starts, he finishes. The decisive and costly expression of his loving purpose was Christ's actual reconciling death, which guarantees the justification and glorification of those for whom he suffered and died. The Apostle Paul goes on to say this in Romans 5:11, "And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." In Romans 5:11, we have now received this reconciliation through Christ. Our justification and reconciliation we receive through Christ alone, and that is why we now have peace with God. It's not that we're waiting for peace with God when Jesus comes. We have it now. And there is an emphasis in the writings of the Apostle Paul throughout his epistles in which he describes the sin-bearing work of Christ on the cross as his work of reconciliation. Christ accomplished reconciliation between God and man, but we must receive this gift as a gift of God's grace. This gift of being reconciled to God through Jesus Christ results in us by laying aside our own alienation and hostility toward God as we repent of our sins and believe the gospel. The peace that Christian believers have with God through Jesus is not a subjective peace of mind which comes and goes. No, we have peace with God, a settled and permanent peace with God, along with ongoing benefits and consequences of being in right relationship with God and in communion with him. And so we have peace with God through Christ's work for us. This brings me to my second point, and that is we have the peace of God through his work in us. Romans 5:3 through 5 says this, "And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." These verses speak about our character being shaped as a consequence of our faith in Jesus Christ. We have a set of character traits linked to hard circumstances which are undergirded by a persevering faith in God. Tribulation brings about perseverance, which brings about proven character, which brings about hope. These things are only the results of one another because of the work of the Holy Spirit working in us to sustain, maintain, and strengthen our faith in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, through difficult circumstances. Let us take note that our justification and our sanctification is due to the work of the triune God for us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Both the scriptures and experience, rightly understood, testify that tribulations do not automatically yield perseverance in our faith. But Paul is speaking about an unbroken link between tribulation, perseverance, character, and hope, because the Holy Spirit works in us to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Now for a moment of honest reflection. We are clay. We are weak. And this is especially seen when we go through circumstantial trauma. When we have to endure long-range suffering, our faith, perseverance, and patience will be tested. Personally, while I have not deeply questioned the faithfulness of God through difficulties, at times I have questioned my ability to hang in there. More than ever, in the midst of hard suffering, we need to take one day at a time. When we try to guesstimate how long we will have to face a particular trial and what it will look like in a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, we need to immediately in our minds put on the brakes and say to ourselves, in harmony with Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow. In fact, let's be more realistic. When we're really having tough times, we need to take 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time. But for crying out loud, don't worry about tomorrow. You can't handle tomorrow. Only thing you can handle is today. And we need to realize, as human nature, to want to escape immediate deliverance from our trials. This is exactly the dilemma that the Apostle Paul wrestles with in 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. And three times he begs the Lord to take away from him this thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:9 then records God's response to Paul's request. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." The Lord's response to Paul's request was that he would not take away Paul's difficulty, but rather the Lord would give Paul sufficient grace to endure this trial. Endure it. That is often not the answer we want, but it is the circumstances that we often have to live in and adjust to. Here in 2 Corinthians 12, as well as our text in Romans 5, Paul rejoices in what God does in the midst of trials and difficulties. Namely, that God strengthens our trust in him as we persevere through difficulties. Joni Erickson Tada said this in her recent book entitled Songs of Suffering, quote, "If we long for peace in our sorrow, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If we are aching for hope beyond our afflictions, he is the God of all hope. If we yearn for patience and endurance when they seem out of reach, he is the God of endurance. Jesus is the God of all comfort. Every grace and hardship find their source in the Lord of grace. You may be suffering, but do not stop singing. Do not stop believing. The long-expected one has come and has promised he is on his way back. You can bank on every single one of his promises because Christ sealed them with his blood. So turn to him in your pain, for the promise maker always makes good on his word." End of quote. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we fully trust in God, Faithful is he who called you to salvation, and his faithfulness will sustain and complete our salvation. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, how wonderful to know that we have peace with you through faith in Christ Jesus. The wrath of God that should have been poured out on us because of our sin was poured out on your only begotten Son, who willingly took our punishment that we deserved. He did this so that we could have peace with you forever. For this we give you praise and thanks through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.